spent a lot of time in writing and trying to negotiate with them on these things to see that they got it. And what we
were
got.
Were you doing this because there was nobody in the city who could or was willing?
There were others that were working on it, but they didn't spend the time on it. I did. And
after all, you knew the ropes of government, didn't you?
Well,
Social Security work.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, I gave them a. I had a record I kept of all these correspondence and so on that I gave to the city for their records. I don't know whether they still have it or not. But anyway, I gave it to them because I didn't have any use for it.
Where are city records kept, by the way?
At the city hall.
You think they're all there, or rather than somebody's basement?
Well, I hope they're all there. I don't know.
Sometimes,
you know,
sometimes secretaries get energetic and say, well, we'll never use this old stuff again, so throw it out.
That's kind of like the museum, in a way. I gave them records. I kept records of our daily deal when we were gathering money. I kept a record. We'd done this, we did this, we done this. I had an album or two, you know, just full of these pages. I gave it to the museum. I don't know what happened to it. I have no idea. But anyway, getting back to I worked in the Methodist Church. I used to be an active member, you know. And
what kind of work?
Well, basically helping out on anything that they needed, you know. I mean,
building repairs, dinners.
Dinners.
Yard maintenance.
Well, I've done some of that, too, in the past. No, I'm not doing it now. But
what do you know about the origins of the Methodist Church?
The origins? Well, I do know that the original Methodist Church, remember that little white church that's up here at this end of town? Right next to the city hall?
I don't think I've seen it.
Well, that was the original Methodist Church. They had that for years. And there's a small group of them. They organized the Methodists, and then they got that building or had that building built. And then when they got too big for that, they sold it to the Catholic, and then they moved down there. And in 1908, they built that brick church down there. And
rather large for a small town.
Yeah, it is. I think they had some rich patrons at that time, which they don't have now. They struggled on finances, you know, like everybody else, you know. There's never enough, you know.
Yes.
But I conducted another thing I've done in town is I've conducted tours in and around town to the various historical sites here and have the stories on them. I've got the tours in stage too, if you want.
Were these ad hoc tours, or did you have a schedule?
I had a schedule. I went from place to place. I've got it all written out.
When you would give the tour, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were given for groups, you know.
By appointment? That kind
yeah,
of
thing? Yeah, that on such and such a date, we're going to take a tour of your type of thing, yeah. And actually, for a while, there was a travel office over here that had tours, and I conducted some tours for them throughout the county and in the town of Union and so on, you know. And
is this in the 70s and 80s?
This was, yeah, probably, let me think about this. Yeah, I'm more in the 80s, I think, you know. And
were you doing this completely as a volunteer?
Yes. I don't get paid.
I gather these were not entirely walking tours.
No, we drove, and we'd stop at each place and explain these things, explain Hot Lake, I've got all the facts up here. You want to look at my historic stuff at another time.
Sure.
You've just got too much time.
Yes. How were these tours received? Have lots of people wanting to come?
They were
very enthusiastic.
Yeah, they were very well received. But Well, it seems to me that I had, the groups were, you know, 20, 15, 20 people, something like that, you know. I've even toured them through the Masonic Hall up here, you know. It's quite a story. And you ought to see some of the stuff that's up there. There's a Tiffany lamp, or Tiffany chandelier that's up there, for one thing.
Is it no longer used?
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yeah, the Masonic Lodge uses it. There is, the Masonic Lodge at Union is one of the most active ones that you'll ever find in the state of Oregon. Mm. They do many things, you know. That's another place where I've been greatly involved, you know. And the Masons, I don't know, they don't blow their horn, but they do an awful lot of charity work, you know. I've helped them in their fundraising, you know, I don't know, it seems like everything around town, I, one time or another, I've been involved in it.
Would you call yourself a civic activist?
I have been. I'm really, the last, probably 7 years, I haven't been all that active, and the reason why is my wife was very ill, and she passed away the first part of this year, you know, and my interest lies there, you know, and that's where I spend my time. But prior to that, yes, I've been very, very active in everything. And that. We used to, another volunteer thing we used to do for Union, you weren't here then, you haven't been here for a while. We used to have a celebration. Instead of this one we have in the spring now, we used to have a celebration where we robbed the bank up here, and we had gunmen, you know, and then we had sheriffs. And
I've seen that one in Joseph.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be a popular thing to do around here.
Well, we used to do that a lot here, and I had an old 44, by golly, and I was the judge. I had a top hat and costume, you know, and all of the other fellows did too. That really, it was pretty. We even at one time had a small cavalry unit dressed like blue-coated soldiers, and we had a bunch of the sport girls too. They're all dressed up and things like this. Tell you about something else. Now,
were you in any way, I won't say involved, but aware of drug activity during the 1960s and 70s in Union?
I was aware that was done. And as a matter of fact, we had a police chief that he wanted to watch my rental house over here. I found out I had druggies in there, you know. And he wanted to watch it from the barn. I told him, yeah, go ahead and do it, you know. And they did eventually run some of those people out. Now, we used to have that's another thing we did. We'd go out on this town patrol, you know. Just volunteers going out, the two of them get in the car, you know, and going around the town.
Suspicious activity?
Yeah, and, you know, way early in the morning until about 5 in the morning, you know, go through the night. And this one druggie, we must have really messed up his sale, because we down the alley there twice, and boy, was he ticked off, you know. He came downtown and just chewed us out, and he told us one about his business, and we were doing what we were supposed to do.
Well, was it mainly dealing in Union, or was there some drug manufacturing too, like methamphetamine?
It was dealing here. The only methamphetamine manufacturing that I know of up Catherine Creek in a little trailer up there. reason I know about that for sure is because I and Carol were, we went out there in the ambulance. Well, we were on the ambulance for 20 years. There's another thing we did as volunteers, EMTs, and we never got paid for that. But
you were on call for that service?
Yep, you bet, any time of day and night, you know. You had these little deals that alarm you, you know, and you got dressed and took off. And we prided ourselves on about 5 minutes and we were ready to go, you know. But anyway, this one up the creek, they were manufacturing there, I guess dealing too, but anyway, there were two of them. One of them was gone. The other one, when the police went in, the sheriff and such went in, he pulled a gun, tried to shoot him. They shot him dead, and they wanted us to come up and check him out and see if he would let him know officially he was dead. He was dead.
As far as you know, were the people who were actively involved in dealing or making drugs or both from elsewhere, or were they locals?
One of them was from LeGrand. They used to bring them over here, that I know of.
Why do you think they came to Union? Did it seem somehow that they would be more or less conspicuous here?
Fewer policemen, you know, and that's only one part of what police do, you know. And so that's the reason I think, you know, that they came. I had some of those druggies that we thought we got rid of, and I had two females there. They were druggies, and I told them to move because I don't allow that. And they didn't move. So one morning I went in there and kicked their tails out.
By yourself?
By myself.
That may be a foolhardy kind of thing to do.
Well, I've done foolhardy things in my life. By all rights, I should have been dead a long time ago.
You are a chance taker.
Yeah, and I was in the service and in combat. And I've had a few adventures in my life.
What do you know about Hot Lake?
I know that I'm sure grateful that it's going to be restored now.
Anything about the past?
Yes.
Feel that you have direct knowledge of?
Well, yeah. I do know that it was a state-of-the-art place.
Not when you were here.
Not when I was here. Okay.
It was in an advanced state of decline when you got here, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Well, actually, no.
No?
It was in decline, but not in advanced state.
Okay.
Dr. What can I say?
Ross?
Ross had it, and he had a nursing home there, and he did rent rooms, and he had a bar, they had a swimming pool. I had all these things, you know, that were still operational. And then the promoters got a hold of it, starting with the people in the selling real estate around here. And the promoters got a hold of it, and gradually things were sold off and things were let go to hell. And there's one guy that he got a bunch of money to try to fix it up, but I don't know what he did with the money. He had a big sign out there, and that was about the size of it. He didn't do anything, you know. And he left town under a cloud because he had a huge telephone bill. But
were you directly involved with the hotel, visiting there at some point?
Oh, yeah. I went out there for New Year's before, you know. They had New Year's parties there. And yes, I used to go out there occasionally. They only had the things I mentioned to you, though. But I was going to tell you, my grandfather, I've got a little newspaper article that said that that he had left Boise by pony and he was going to Hot Lake for the treatment. Now, I'll translate. Pone 8 was the old interurban line in Boise, and he joined the train, and they had a siding there in Hot Lake where they used to let out passengers. And when he went to the treatment, this is the treatment like you're talking about now. It's the mud baths and drinking the water and all that kind of stuff, because he was ill. And anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting that my grandfather went out here to Hot Lake, you know. And I didn't know anything about Hot Lake before I came here. You know, I didn't know this whole valley.
My understanding was that in addition to tuberculosis and other kinds of aches and pains, it was a major treatment center for venereal diseases.
Among other things. Yeah. It was called the Mayo Clinic of the West. And
I'm sure they played that up a lot.
Yes, they did. And he had a tremendous, his livestock was the top of the line on everything, you know.
And that handsome barn.
Yes.
No longer handsome. As you can see that it was.
Like his old barn I got out here. This is the old stagecoach stop at my time. About ready to fall down because I can't afford to fix it up.
It's a
huge
sign
thing.
On it.
Huh?
I hope it has a sign on it.
Well, no, it's in the middle of a pasture. Why would anybody see it?
People wander around pastures. They should be reminded of it.
Anybody wants to see it, I'd certainly let them, you know. I mean, there's no problem there. I used to tell everybody that used to come to the golf course that that's what it was.
Well, you mentioned the golf course. Tell me why you started that.
Mainly my son. he thought that it'd be a good business to get in, and it was a good business to get in. But every year it seems like somebody else sets up another golf course.
Competition is getting keen.
Pardon me?
Is the competition getting keen?
Very keen, okay. Yeah. There isn't enough business here for all these. However, we're not going to go out of business because it's on our own place, and we do make a little money on it, and let the others go out of business.
You said your son was mainly interested in it?
He's the one that said let's try this, because he thought we could do real well on it. We did the first couple of years, you know. And
has it been strictly a money-making project?
That's what it was for, yeah.
You didn't have any other purposes in mind.
No, other than that. Except, well, I might say this. The union didn't have anything. They were saying that kids didn't have anything to do. There was nothing to go, and no place to go, and all this kind of stuff. So we thought, well, we'll do something for union, too. And we designed, my son designed this, even me, the way he designed this. And we put it together ourselves. I mean, we, other than pouring the cement slabs, we did the rest of it. And we were finishing up the brickwork when I had a heart attack. But anyway, yeah, you'd like to go over and see that?
Sure.
Okay. We can do that.
Anything else to say about Hot Lake?
Well,
have you been a regular observer of what's happened to it?
Oh, yes. It has deteriorated. And the people who have had it, I don't care what they say, every one of them has left it in worse shape than it was before. Sold everything. They stripped everything.
Do you have any specific observations on the vandalism, which has been extensive?
Yes, I think that's terrible. But I don't know what you do about it. You know, it's out away from things, and unless you've got somebody living there, it's going to happen.
There is someone there now, 24 hours a day.
Good.
But do you think that the vandalism occurred because no one took any responsibility for trying to keep the vandals out?
Well, that's basically it. Sure, the law tried to keep them out if they were trespassing and such. This is out, we don't have that many lawmen around. And they, vandals want to do something easy for them to do. Look at what they did up here in our cemetery. They went up there and pushed tombstones over. Why would anybody want to do that? I don't understand vandalism. When we were kids, yeah, we played tricks on people. We did things, but we didn't destroy things. I don't understand this destruction thing.
Smashing and defacing seem to be the motives.
And I think it's terrible. But what do you do about it? Well, of course, we're not being raised correctly anymore.
A story with no end.
Yeah. If my father had seen me do something like that, my bottom would have still been warm. But, anyway,
are you inclined to think that because of values, social values that are now being expressed, and effective communication devices and changes in entertainment tastes, that Union County is a less healthy place to live now than it was when you first came here?
Definitely. There, I don't care what anybody says, the drugs weren't in here like they are now. TV is a wilderness, you know, and you're teaching your kids to sit in front of and watch this thing, use it for a babysitter, and the type of things that they're getting over that TV is going to make, they don't give a darn about anybody or anything, you know, and of course that doctor that said you shouldn't punish your kids, you know, you shouldn't physically punish them. That's a crock. I was physically punished. You probably were too.
No, I wasn't.
Well, almost everybody I know of was. And it didn't hurt us a darn bit. And if anything, I needed more whippings than I got. And I do not fault my father for this. He was trying to raise a law-abiding citizen. And honestly, that's a lot of what's wrong nowadays. There are no consequences for these kids.
You think that sparing the rod does spoil the child?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, spanking a child doesn't mean beating them. You know, there's a lot of difference in the two. And I think that a child should be spanked when they've done something wrong. You need to know that it's wrong. Don't do this again. And you know, most spanking that I know of, they only happen a few times. The kid knows what's going to happen if you're consistent. You don't have to stay.
You think that unions having a high school, and especially a high school that's in the same building that it was about 100 years ago, has been beneficial for the town?
Well, obviously, we couldn't afford to build a building. But they've kept it up pretty well. We've got good students here. These kids are pretty doggone good, you know. I don't see, we get just as good an education here as you are in O'Grand. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And you know, the people in the town have gotten in and they've done a lot of things for these kids free, you know, used equipment, since built the ball fields and put in lights and raise money for the kids, and we did all that while we were, you know, we worked with the school while we were parents, you know, raising kids.
Well, do you think that having the high school where it is for so long has had some effect on an attitude about tradition here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of the people here that have lived here that long graduated from that high school, and they have a great affection for it. Right there, you know where the boiler room is? Just in front of where the boiler room is, and out a little bit towards the road, that's where they built the gallows for Kelsey Porter. The only man that was ever hung in Union County legally, you know. And inside the boiler room, you still could see, that used to be prison, and you can still see the prisoners that scratched on the wall and left messages.
Union doesn't have a jail now, does it?
No, no. They used to be an old wooden one when I first came here that was tubercores that they nailed down together, you know, and made a building out of, but they destroyed that, of course. But that was only a temporary type jail. Anyway.
That was mainly for drugs and thieves?
Yeah, that type of thing.
No murderers?
No. Well, since I've been here, there's been some murders.
Do you have any observations on the effect of the library on the town?
It's good. They are doing a wonderful job with what they got to work with. If I ever win the lottery, I'm going to get some money.
What constitutes a wonderful job?
Well, they're reaching out to the community, to the children. They have special things going, you know, for the children.
Story time?
Yeah, type of thing. And classes and stuff down there that I don't know what they're teaching, of course, because I don't have any little kids like that. But they're down there almost every morning, and they're trying to gather historic things from the area to put into the library there. And they're doing this. He's grown it. they have a pretty wide variety of books there for a little library like that. It's really, you can find almost anything you want, you know. And the fact is, I'm going to contribute. I've always been into the Civil War a lot. And I have a tremendous amount of books and history on the Civil War. When the time comes when I don't want them anymore, I'm going to give them to the library here to set up a section on it.
The town by the name of Union says the Civil War is certainly a good subject to have a lot
of discussion. That's why it's named
about.
Union, you know.
Yes.
The Copperheads were all over in LeGrand. You heard about the battle that was almost fought up there, didn't you?
When and by whom?
By Northern and Southern sympathizers during the Civil War.
About 1864 or 5?
Yeah.
No, I guess I haven't heard about that.
You haven't heard about it, huh? Well, you know where Old Town is?
Yes.
Okay. Well, up there in Old Town, there's a bunch of Southern sympathizers, Copperheads,
otherwise known as Confederates.
Yeah. Copperheads. Anyway, they wanted to burn Lincoln in effigy. And the Northern sympathizers...
Because he freed his slaves, you mean?
No, this was during the war. They hated Lincoln.
Yes.
Okay?
But because of the slave issue.
Not necessarily that. The war did, despite all the propaganda you hear, the war did not start over slaves. In a way it did, but most of the people who were involved did not care about freeing the slaves. That was something that was done because it helped to win the war, as a latter thought. They did not go into that war to free the slaves. They went into that war to save the Union because it wanted to split, you know. Okay. Anyway, there's a bunch of Northern sympathizers here, including some here in Union, you know, and they all went over there, and everybody was armed, and they were on buildings and behind barns, behind buildings, and the Northern sympathizers said that if they burned Lincoln in effigy, they were going to open fire, and the Southerners said, we're going to burn him, they were going to open fire. So anyway, the upshot of it was that cooler heads finally prevailed. You did not have a battle up there in Old Town in LeGrand.
But it was close.
It became very, very close to being a shooting thing. Oh, there's a lot of that little history like that around.
What kind, did you have newspaper accounts of that story?
I got it from the old timers.
Just orally?
Orally, yes.
They witness it, or did they
probably heard that story from their elders.
Probably from their parents, yeah. And, but, you know, there were newspapers at that time. You might be able to find it if you look at the paper.
There were several newspapers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's...